Happy Friday, everybody. It's Friday, October 11th, 2019. And as always, if you're listening to this, that means you made it through another week and margaritas are in order. Sorry I didn't have an episode last week. I'll explain why in a little bit. But I'm back this week, so let's go ahead and get to today's birthdays so that we can get into the NFL, so that we can get to the weird stories of the day. Because as usual, we have a slew of weird-ass people doing weird-ass things in America on a weekly basis. All right, happy birthday to Henry John Hines, Steve Young, Joan Cusack, and Chris Spielman. Also on this date in 1983, Kiss performed for the first time ever without face paint. In honor of this occasion, today's song of the day will be Lick It Up. Okay, quickly, three real quick reminders I give everybody every week for the new people that are finding me for the first time. Reminder number one, you're going to hear some background noise when you're listening to this podcast. It's not edited and mixed professionally. It's done on my phone. It's meant to be that way. It's an amateur podcast. It's meant to be like two people sitting on the deck shooting the shit. Reminder number two, I have music at various locations throughout each episode. I have an intro song. I have a song at the end of the episode every week. I have a song that takes us into the birthdays. But you can't hear any of the music if you're not listening on an Anchor platform. So if you can, go to anchor.fm or download the free Anchor app. You get my podcast, dozens of others. It's all totally free. I don't make any money doing this, so I'm not plugging it for financial reasons. I'm just telling you so that you can hear the podcast the way it was meant to be heard. And lastly, if you can, swing by the website, TomPowellJr.com. It's TomPowellJr.com, where you're going to find anything you want to know about me, pics of the family, pics of my vacations, my blog. But most importantly, you're going to find a link where you can buy my first book, which is entitled A Grateful Life, The Life Story of a Husband, Father, and Taco-Loving Deadhead, which is available in paperback and ebook formats at that website, TomPowellJr.com. All right. With all of that put aside, let's quickly do the NFL breakdown and give the picks this week before we get into the stories of the week. All right, I know you guys did not have my picks for last week because I didn't do a podcast episode last week, but you'll have to trust me on what my picks went last week. If I was going to lie to you, I'd pick a better score than this, but last week I went 9-6. 9-6. So far, year to date, I'm 42-32-1. So I try to keep the football to a minimum because I know a lot of people don't like to listen to it. So what did we see last week? Let's quickly go through some of the highlights of last week. We had Mason Rudolph, the quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, who has stepped in for Ben Roethlisberger, who's out for the year. Mason Rudolph got fucked up. He got leveled. He was out on his feet. He was on the ground for several minutes. They had to physically remove the face mask from his helmet in order to gain access to his face and head, but not remove his helmet. That's getting jacked up, ladies and gentlemen. But where the story takes a little bit of a turn for the weird is that they needed to cart him off the field, but they couldn't do it because the goddamn cart broke down on its way to get him. So then you had three guys carrying the quarterback off the field, while another three guys pushed the broken down cart off the field. Come on, man. Come on. Pittsburgh, you got to get that shit together. We saw Jay Gruden get fired this week, which is an unusual move. Even though the Redskins absolutely suck and Jay Gruden's just not cutting it, you never see coaches in the NFL get fired during the season. It's always at the end of the season. So you know how bad the situation is in the Washington area for the coach to be fired a month in. We also saw the 49ers go undefeated. Let me repeat that for you football fans. The fucking 49ers are undefeated a month into the season. Figure that one out. Because I sure as hell can't. Speaking of really bad teams, Atlanta. I think the Matty Ice era in Atlanta is coming to an end. I truly do. He's a damn good quarterback for a while, but it's just not working out. And I could easily see them moving on from him at the end of the season. Now, my Colts shocked the world. They were one of my six losses. I had them getting destroyed last week. And they went into Kansas City on Sunday night and beat the Chiefs on their home field. Never saw that coming. I know people laughed at me when I said it. And I know people are still laughing. But if you're still laughing, you're not fucking paying attention. Listen to what I'm saying. The Indianapolis Colts are going to win that division even without Andrew Luck. Nobody wanted to listen to me, and look at where they're at. They're tied for first in their division. They just went into Kansas City and whooped up on them. They got the bye week this week, and their schedule is favorable heading forward. They have a very smart head coach. They have one of the best offensive lines probably ever assembled. Ever. They have phenomenal weapons around their quarterback. Their quarterback is a decent quarterback. Is he Andrew Luck? No, but he's getting the job done. And guess what, folks? He's tied for the most touchdowns in the league. Yeah, Jacoby Brissett. So keep laughing. But I'm telling you, they're going to win that division. We also saw our first international game of the year played in London. So that means it's time for me to start sending messages to the NFL again to stop playing games in Europe. You will never have a European NFL team. It's never going to work. All you're doing is taking away a home game from somebody here and forcing two teams to travel across the country and fuck up their schedules to play a game for you to try and make money in Europe. Stop it. It's ridiculous. It needs to end immediately. Now, was I happy with the outcome of this week's game? Hell yeah, because it meant that the Raiders beat the Bears in London. A couple of quick notes about that game. First of all, it made me happy because the Bears lose. Tom, why do you always talk so much shit about the Bears? You're a Colts fan. What difference does it make to you about the Bears? I live in Bears country, and I have to deal with these 85 Bears fuckers always running around with their Super Bowl shuffle shit and their haters. Stop, Bears. And I'm telling you, nobody wants to listen to me about the Bears either. Their quarterback was a flash in the pan last year. Mitchell Trubisky has hit a wall. The whole team has hit a wall. They're now in third place in their division, and they just got smoked by the fucking Raiders. The Raiders. I know people don't want to listen to me. Look at their schedule. They got the bye week this week with my beloved Colts. Look at their schedule moving forward. It is not favorable. They play some tough teams in some tough venues moving forward, and Green Bay is doing nothing but putting distance between them. And oh, by the way, Green Bay put even more distance between themselves and the Bears by going into Dallas and beating the Cowboys. And I mean whooping them, destroyed them. So laugh all you want, but everything I said that was going to happen is happening. One final note before I get to the picks. I got to talk about the Tennessee Titans, a team that's in my division, because I cannot believe that multiple people within the Tennessee Titans organization have not been fired by now. Last week, the Tennessee kicker missed four field goals. We've all been there. Our team, our kicker has gone out and just been obliterated by kicks. And then what do you got to do? You got to go in and you got to find a new kicker. And so the Tennessee Titans did that. Their kicker went out, missed four field goals in one game. They got rid of him. They brought in a new kicker. And who the fuck did Tennessee bring in? They brought in Cody Double Doink Parkey himself. Yes, Cody Parkey. The guy who was a chip shot field goal away from actually seeing the Bears winning a playoff game for a change in his home stadium, and he double doinks it. Tennessee fans, let me tell you something about Cody Parkey, living here in the Chicagoland area and seeing him firsthand. Last year when he played for the Bears, before they cut his ass loose and everybody in town was looking for him to be hung from a fucking yardarm, he missed 11 kicks. Between field goals and extra points, 11 kicks. 5 of those kicks in the home stadium by hitting the uprights. And the last one he did it to was in a playoff game against the Philadelphia Eagles. It was a chip shot, and he double-doinked it. That is the guy who somebody in their infinite wisdom down in Tennessee decided was the guy to bring in to solve their kicking woes. As somebody who plays in your division, I salute you. Thank you very much. I can't wait for Cody Parkey to double-doink one against my beloved Colts. I can't believe somebody's not fired in that organization today. Absolutely ridiculous. But let me get to the picks real quick so we can get into the news stories, because I know people don't like the football, and I've been raving, going on for 8.5 minutes about it. This week's picks, winners will be the Buccaneers, Dolphins, Eagles, Chiefs, Jaguars, Seahawks, Ravens, 49ers, Cardinals, Cowboys, Broncos, Chargers, and on Monday night, the Packers will put even more distance between themselves and the Bears by pulling out the W. All right. Now that that's all over with, what's been going on this week? Well, this week we got to start off with a little tip of the cap to my middle daughter, Lily Marie, who turned 15 since last we spoke and has gotten her driving permit. I took her down to the DMV, and it was her first time at the DMV. She doesn't know how things work there. She was very confused with the manner in which the numbers were called, and she wasn't listening to the woman when the woman was talking to you. And we're up at the window, and the woman and I are holding back laughter because she's asking Lily questions, but Lily's not listening to her. Lily's looking at me like the woman's talking to me, and then the woman finishes her question, and then there's awkward silence, and I look at Lily and I go, "Are you going to answer?" And, "Oh, you were talking to me?" So right away, the DMV lady and I are holding back laughter. But then comes the eye test part. And I'm sure it's the same in every state, but if it's not, there's like a box, and inside the box there's a screen, and you got to put your face in there, and there's a little button where your forehead goes, and you depress that button with your forehead, and the screen lights up, and then you read the line that they tell you to read. And the woman tells Lily, "Put your face in the box, read me the fifth line." And Lily puts her face in the box and doesn't say anything, and it's just silence. So I say to the DMV employee, "Did you want her to read the answer out loud?" And the lady goes, "Yeah, that would actually kind of be helpful." And I go, "So you're going to answer her?" And the lady goes, "What, did she ask me a question?" I'm like, "Yeah." So the lady goes, she's trying to hold back laughter, goes, "Can you read the fifth line for me?" The lady goes, "Oh, I'm sorry." So she puts her face back in the box and nothing. I go, "Honey, you got to read the fifth line." She goes, "But there's nothing on the screen, Dad." I go, "Honey, there's a button where your forehead goes. You got to push your forehead." She was hovering. Good for her, you know, not trying to catch any germs. I go, "But you got to push the button in with your forehead." So she pushes her forehead forward. It depresses the button, and the screen lights up. And in this loud, you know, moment of revelation, she goes, "Oh, there it is." And me and the DMV employee just bust out laughing. Which is a rarity at the DMV. You don't see people smiling or laughing, but we were fucking rolling. Absolutely rolling. "Oh, there it is." It was not her finest moment. It just wasn't. Now, she passed the test. She got her permit. So we are 1 year away from 2/3 of our children having driving capabilities. Now, that noise that all of you just heard was my wife holding her coffee cup up at her desk as she listened to that section going, "Hell yeah, bitches, woohoo!" Because if there's one thing that we learned from the first child getting her driver's license is that a certain level of freedom is thrust upon the parents as well as the children once the children get driving capabilities. They can drive themselves to practice. They can drive themselves home from clubs. They can drive themselves to the football game on a Friday night. So we're 1 year away from that. We have several more years for the boy. He only turns 8, so it's going to be a minute before he gets his. But 1 year away from the second one getting your license. And speaking of after-school activities and football games, this weekend is our homecoming here in the Minooka-Shanahan area. The Minooka Community High School is having the homecoming game tonight. Homecoming dance tomorrow. So a couple things about that real quick. First of all, go Indians. Second of all, we're going to be heading over to the football game tonight to see my daughter, who is going to be signing the national anthem before the game. So proud dad moment there. And then tomorrow, she's going to the homecoming dance with Eli. Just remember, Eli, I know everything. And I know everybody in town. Just messing with you. Just busting chops. But I also, at some point in time this week, I picked up my daughter from one of her after-school clubs. And she was standing out in front with Eli and a couple of friends. And one of the friends is Sean, the gentleman whose house everybody hangs out in. Everybody parties in Sean's basement. And I'm sure that I've come across Sean before, but it might have been at night and I maybe just didn't remember what Sean looked like. But I got a chance to see Sean in the daylight, and it gave me a little bit of a warm and fuzzy feeling that one of my daughter's friends was rocking a Ride the Lightning t-shirt. I know everybody pegs me as the Grateful Dead filthy hippie, and I am. But I listen to all genres of music, and one of my favorite genres of music is metal. Before the Grateful Dead, that's all I listened to almost exclusively. And one of my favorite bands all time is Metallica. Had a chance to see them. Ooh. 3 decades ago, Evansville, Indiana, on the And Justice for All tour, the Cult opened up for him. Great show. Phenomenal. But it gave me a warm and fuzzy that one of her friends was rocking the Metallica t-shirt. Especially an old school Metallica t-shirt. I mean, Ride the Lightning, we're going back to Cliff Burton days there. So that really warmed my heart to see one of her friends doing that. So it's also my understanding that Sean's basement is where the homecoming after party is going to be. So first things first, hello to everybody in Sean's basement down there celebrating homecoming at the after party. I know my daughter's not there. She's off doing something else. You guys still have a basement full. That's where my daughter still hangs out there for almost every week. So hello to everybody. And just party responsibly, okay? I know you guys are like, oh, what the fuck are you talking about, man? You followed the Dead for 4 years. Yeah, and now I'm a parent. Just listen to what I'm saying. Don't tear up your mom's house. Don't do anything stupid. Have a good time. Party responsibly at the after party at Sean's house. And if you guys can, at some point in time during the night, throw on Cliff Burton's Anesthesia in honor of the late, great Cliff Burton, who was my first musical hero and musical icon. Rest in peace forever, Cliff. But yeah, you guys party it up over there. Just do so responsibly. All right, now, with that aside, the personal shit aside, one of the things that popped up this week, that just a quick note on this, before I get into a rant about Facebook, if I can, please. The McRib is back. And I'm not a fan. It's hot garbage. It's really disgusting. But it looks so good. And it smells so good. So with the McRib coming back and seeing the commercials and people talking about it on social media, it actually made me want to try one again. And I've done it year after year after year, and I've been disappointed year after year after year, and it finally dawned on me, and that's the only reason why I'm putting it in the podcast today, is something about the McRib dawned on me, and I wanted to share it with you. I finally figured out what the McRib is, okay? The McRib is the candy corn of the fast food world. Now, hear me out on this. Candy corn. Every year it comes out around Halloween, and every year you go, oh, wow, that shit looks good. I got to get me some candy corn. And you go to a party, and there's a bowl of candy corn out, and you go, oh, yeah, that, man, that shit looks good. And you grab yourself a few pieces, and you pop them in your mouth, and every year you go, it's still hot garbage. That's what the McRib is. It finally dawned on me this week what it is. It comes out, and you see that commercial, you're like, oh, man, look at that rib meat on that bun, and it's got all that barbecue juice sauce just dripping off. That looks so good. I gotta go get me a McRib. And then you try it and you realize, no, it's still hot garbage, not suitable for prisoners. So it just dawned on me that that's what it was. And I had to share it with you. I had to get it off my chest. I had to tell somebody. I don't work anymore, so the only person I talk to anymore is my wife, and she's getting sick and tired of me telling her stupid shit like this, which is why I have a podcast in the first place, so that I can tell you stupid shit like this. The McRib is the candy corn of the fast food world. Comes out once a year. It always makes you think it's good. It always looks good. It always, oh, we got to try that. And then you go and try it, and it's hot garbage. Not falling for it this year. I'm not having a McRib. Fuck you, McDonald's. Get rid of it. Get it off the menu. Okay? Now, since I'm flipping off corporations, my next fuck you goes to Facebook. Not to the 1,700 plus followers on my Facebook page, which I know is not a lot. It's growing a little bit every day. And I'm hoping it continues to grow. But I caught myself another ban. This time I caught a 7-day ban. I was in jail from 7 to 7. From Sunday to Sunday. 7 days. I posted an article about parents that sold their child to online pedophiles. And my commentary, which I'm not going to repeat here so I don't catch a 30-day ban. My commentary is what I'd like to see happen to those parents. And as a result, I violated community standards, and I got thrown in jail for 7 days. And I think Facebook needs to stop working off algorithms and start looking at these things on a case-by-case basis. Okay, use the algorithm to catch the discrepancy, but then when you get an appeal, like I send in every time I get a ban, can we have a fucking person go look at it and go, you know what? He's talking about people, criminal. No, that one's good. 7-day ban. Listen, here's the bottom line. I've already started to do more shit on Twitter. I'm going to start to do more shit on Instagram. I prefer the Facebook platform, but if Facebook continues to do this shit, I am going to abandon Facebook 100%. I'm going to pull everything off of Facebook, and I'm just going to go Twitter 100%. Fuck them. These bans are getting ridiculous. They're getting out of control, and Facebook needs to get their shit together. I'm sorry, but Facebook, you're wrong in the way you handle this shit. I catch bans for posting memes that I found on Facebook, and not on private group pages where more raunchy shit's allowed, on public pages. And then I post it, and I get another ban. Oh, you can't do anything for 3 days. Fuck you, Facebook. You have got to get your head out of your ass. You're pissing people off, and you're driving people to other social media sites. So just know that if I catch another one, and I'm going to be done with Facebook, I'm just going to get the fuck off of it altogether. Makes me want to drink. It really honestly makes me want to drink. And I'm not even a drinker. Now, if I was, I would contemplate trying a brand new product that Glenlivet Whiskey has out, since we're on the subject of drinking. You guys got to go look this product up. It's really weird. It's like a whiskey pod. Think of a Tide Pod, a clear plastic, or I guess it's not plastic, but a clear dissolvable pouch with liquid inside of it. That's what a Tide Pod is. Glenlivet has made whiskey pouches, clear dissolvable pouches with shots of whiskey in them. You pop one into your mouth, and the pouch dissolves, and boom, you have a shot of whiskey. And to be honest with you, while I'm intrigued by the idea, I have questions. Like, so do you guys walk around with a pocket of pods and pop them into your mouth? Is that how it works? Can you walk up to a bar and order a whiskey pod? But my biggest question becomes, what are the rules about whiskey pods when it comes to open alcohol in a car? It's not in a bottle, but is the pod itself considered a container? So if I have a bag of whiskey pods sitting on the seat next to me, but I don't have an open bottle, am I still open transporting? I think there's a lot of questions the old whiskey pods develop, they present to society. It's an interesting concept. It looks weird that you're popping this pod into your mouth instead of taking a drink. So it's somewhat odd, but somewhat interesting at the same time. So if there are any law enforcement officers that have some answers to whether or not that would be considered open carry in a car, I would love to hear from you. Me, I'll stick with my wheat. Everybody knows I love the sticky icky. I am a fan of the giggle bush. I enjoy it every day, a little bit at night, just around the edges. And I have a story this week involving marijuana and stupid people. Comes to us from Monroe, Washington. I mean, Washington State. Somebody apparently turned in a cooler or donated a cooler to Goodwill. It's one of those coolers. We have one of them. It's a big square cooler that has a couple of wheels on the back, and you pull a handle out of the back, and you tilt it, and you pull it along like a suitcase, right? We have one of them. A big cooler. So one of these arrives at the Goodwill in Monroe, Washington, and as is typical, the Goodwill people have to go through all of the stuff that they get donated. And they found some weird stuff over the years. They found human skulls and war medals and piles of cash. Well, this time, the employee found 60 ounces of the jazz cabbage. And according to the report I read, it wasn't like ditch weed either. This was some high quality weed. So the guy finds it in the cooler, and then he calls the cops to say, "Hey man, we got a problem. There's some weed in a cooler over there." And right there is where I got to stop the whole story. We got to talk about the stupidity on both ends. First of all, on the donation end, 60 ounces of high quality weed is not for personal use. Okay. It was meant for distribution. So somebody has got their ass in a sling for coming up 60 ounces shy. My guess is it happened one of two ways. Either the guy or gal who had the 60 ounces and was hiding it in the cooler got too fucking stoned to remember where it was and donated their 60 ounces of weed, in which case, congratulations, you are one of the stupidest motherfuckers I've ever had the misfortune of knowing in my life. I would tend to lean more towards somebody was hiding it in the cooler. That was their stash spot. And either their roommate or their spouse or somebody else in the house was donating items and just grabbed that old cooler on the way out and donated that with it. So there's a whole level of bullshit going on at that house that I would love to be a fly on the wall for. But then you have the dumbass on the Goodwill side that called the cops. Dude, you just hit the fucking jackpot. 60 ounces of sweet, sticky marijuana. I've never wanted to work for a Goodwill store more in my life. If that were me, if I was going through the Goodwill stuff and found 60 ounces of sweet, sticky dank in a cooler, I would be taking my break right then and there. The first thing I would say, hey, so you guys are going to charge what, like $5, $6 for this cooler? Tell you what, I'm going to give you $20 cash, and I'm going to go ahead and put it in my car right now. It's a really nice cooler. I think I want it. And then I'd be fucking getting that thing to my car quicker than shit through a goose. Oh, by the way, I'm taking the rest of the day off. I'm going home to smoke some sticky icky. Oh, my God. Called the cops. Man. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Now, I really have no way of segueing from that into my next story. But I have back-to-back stories here that are of somewhat of a sexual nature, I guess. So, you, kids around might not want to listen to it. First story comes to us from the UK, and a guy who I can sympathize with. 47-year-old Steve Whitehurst out of the UK. He was stopped while leaving a store because the cashier, the clerk, said he was shoplifting. He had something that he shoved down his pants. And Steve's like, "I didn't put anything in my pants. I don't know what you're talking about." They're like, "Sir, we know you have something in your pants." He goes, "Did you see me put something in my pants?" He's like, "No, sir, the bulge in the front of your pants is indicative that you put something down your pants." And he's like, No. "This is my dick. There's nothing in my pants." And the clerk was like, "No, nobody. We're not buying it." The manager didn't buy it. The security guard didn't buy it. He's like, "Guys, no." He even tried joking with him. He's like, "I'm part donkey." Nobody was buying it. So he says, listen, before the cops arrive, the store manager's a man, the security guard's a man. Why don't these two men come back to the dressing room with me? And they can examine my pants. So they go back with him, and he unzips his pants, and sure as shit, he's got nothing in his pants other than Thor's hammer. All right, this baby arm holding an apple flops out of the front of Steve's pants, and the security guard and the store manager come back out of the dressing room like, nah, he's good. He doesn't have anything down his pants. No, he just a bomb-ass dick. So, first things first, I can sympathize, Steve. It's a cross some of us have to bear. Now, I'm going to stop the story so that my wife has a moment to gather herself and compose herself so she can stop laughing. And she's also going to need to get a wet wipe to wipe the coffee off of the computer screen that she just spit out of her mouth while hearing me say that. But you know something? I've been with the same woman for 22 years. I've never taken a dick pic in my life. So there is no way for her to disprove that I'm rocking Thor's hammer down there. So it's her word against mine. There you go. I sympathize with you, Steve. Steve, that's why I wear the baggy shorts. No tight pants. No, I don't want to have any disillusions that I'm trying to smuggle goods, stolen goods out of a store. I can sympathize with you, brother. Some of us, you know, are just built like tripods. I don't know what to tell you. That noise you hear, that's my wife laughing again. Now she's saying, God damn it, stop it. I can't even drink coffee while listening to my husband's podcast because I'm laughing too long. I'm telling you guys, I'm telling you right now. So big, it's got a girth certificate. Yeah, I said girth certificate. There goes my wife laughing again. Listen, you got to have an anaconda in your pants if you are mistaken for a shoplifter simply based on your bulge. Dude, I mean, it's got to be like, holy shit. You're going to knock somebody out with that goddamn thing. Now, speaking of dick, what a segue. Speaking of dick, it's shows like this that I wish that I had somebody like doing the podcast with me. And we're going to get to that point eventually. We're going to eventually get to the point where you have guests that come in every week. And I'm thinking about a format in which I would rotate different guests in and out. And we would bounce these stories off of one another. But right now it's just me. And so I just have to segue into the next story by saying, speaking of dick, we have a story about some bomb-ass dick that comes to us from Woodbury, New Jersey. So what happened in Woodbury, New Jersey? This woman named Taja Russell, she gets the late-night booty call. She gets the text message from the gentleman a little after 3 a.m., hey, come down here and get some of this dick, girl. And it must have been really good dick because Taj gussied herself up and hit the road and head over to this dude's house. Now, I have said before, and I'm going to say again, nothing good happens as a result of a booty call that comes in after midnight. If you get in the after midnight booty call, just ignore it and deal with shit tomorrow. It always breaks bad. Something's going to happen that's bad. And at the end of the day, you got to keep in mind that if you're getting the booty call text after midnight, you were not the first choice. You are the old reliable, basically, is what's going on here. They're settling on you, okay? All right, now, Taj shows up about 4 o'clock in the morning, Taja, at this guy's house. But the problem is that the dude had fallen asleep. So now he's upstairs passed out with the bomb diggity dick. And she can't get into the house. So she's banging on the door. And she's sending him angry text messages. You better get your ass down here and unlock this door. To no avail. He's not waking up. So what does Taj do? She goes over to the local gas station, gets herself some lighter fluid and a lighter, comes back and sets the dude's front door on fire. Proving my point that nothing good happens from booty calls that come in after midnight. Booty calls after midnight, that's when your car gets keyed, your tires get slashed, your pet comes up, shows up dead and in the pot on the stove, and some psycho bitch sets your front door on fire. And since I've been exaggerating about my sexual prowess throughout the course of this particular episode, might as well go ahead and continue. Shit like this is exactly why I'm married. I can't be having crazy bitches coming after this bomb-ass dick. That's my wife spitting coffee against her computer screen yet again. I can't even get through it with a straight face, guys. But regardless, Taj, you need to eat a Snickers, my dear. And whoever the hell, the story did not name the victim whose door got lit on fire. But dude, enough with the 3 a.m. booty calls, because you are obviously calling up the wrong bitches. Keep it under control. If it's 3 o'clock in the morning and you haven't gotten any yet, then, you know, rub one out and go to bed, if that's what you got to do. See, it's different when you're married. The after midnight booty call when you're married is just rolling over and getting some. Now, it means waking your spouse up, guilty as charged. I do it frequently. You know, it could, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. Oh, she touched my foot with her ankle. It's go time. But if you're single and you're getting the booty call, don't answer the booty call. Don't answer the booty call. It's only going to result in bad things happening. Your front door is going to get lit on fire. Something's going to break. She's going to go fucking psycho on you. Never, ever, ever answer the after midnight booty calls, okay? Now, I want to touch on something that is apparently a new service that's being offered. That when I read it this week, I had mixed feelings about it. Apparently, there's a show, I don't know if it's on Netflix or if it's on some cable network, about a killer clown named Wrinkles the Clown. And it's like it's a guy that has this weird clown mask that almost looks like a burlap sack that goes over his face. I don't know what it is. But apparently, some parents of a 12-year-old boy that was not behaving contacted the actor and had him come to the house dressed as Wrinkles the Serial Killing Clown to scare the shit out of their child. And he did. He fucking did. And when I'm reading this story, a couple of things occurred to me. First thing that occurred to me was, holy shit, you're going to scar your kids for life. I mean, I pull pranks on my kids all the time, scare them when they're coming out of the bathroom. I don't think I would even be so sadistic as to hire some guy dressed as a clown to scare the living dog shit out of him. But who knows? Apparently this is a thing you can do now. You can, not only for your kids, you can hire him for your friends, co-workers. He'll show up to offices. Go look it up. He'll do all kinds of shit dressed as Wrinkles the Clown. But I also got to thinking about what kind of a person would do that. What kind of a person would dress up as a clown and go scar children for a living? And the only thing I could figure is somebody that's trying to support a meth habit. Because you got to be seriously twisted and messed up in the head to dress up as a clown and go scaring kids for money. Sure, would it be fun the first couple of times? Maybe, but I mean, you are leaving a string of fucked up kids in your wake. So maybe he's got a meth habit to support. Maybe he's got unresolved psychotic issues. I don't know. But if you're interested in hiring a clown to scare the shit out of your kids, you can call up Wrinkles the Methed Up Clown to come scare the shit out of your misbehaving kid. It's unbelievable to me. It has to be the meth, right? It's one of the drugs I've never tried. And never will. But it has to be the meth. Meth makes you do some stupid things. Meth makes you do things that you kind of look back and go, did I really do that? case in point. Case in point, if I may. Jessica Knopp of Arkansas. You got to go look this woman up. K-N-O-P-P of Arkansas. Jessica Knopp of Arkansas. Jessica gets pulled over by the Arkansas State Troopers. They ran her plates and found out she had 5 warrants. So she gets pulled over, and in the process of questioning her, they notice that she's got a bow in her hair. You know, it's like a band that goes around your head, and at some point on the band, off to the side, there's a bow. Think of Minnie Mouse. You know, a bow like that. So they're talking to her. And they're looking at the bow, and they're talking to her, looking at the bow. And then it really struck them what was odd about the bow. The bow, even though it was bow-shaped, was not a bow. It was a cellophane bag shaped as a bow, filled with meth. She had a fucking meth bag shaped as a bow, holding her hair back. And then had the balls to tell the cops, oh, somebody else put that in my hair. So, okay, listen. Hang on a second here. It's bad enough when you stupid assholes try and tell the cops somebody else put the weed in my car or somebody else put the cocaine in my purse. But you are now honestly going to try and tell the cops somebody put a meth bag bow in your hair that you are driving around town in with? Oh, meth. It just, and you know what? You would think that that story is out of Florida, but it's not. It's out of Arkansas. And it's got to be one of the best dumbass stories of the week that you're ever going to hear. You're driving around with a meth bow in your hair, and you didn't even know it. Absolutely unbelievable. And I'm sorry I don't have a Florida story this week. I truly am. I know Sean's going to be disappointed. I'm sure there will be Florida stories next week. As a matter of fact, I know there will be because I've already started to see some stories that I want to talk about next week. But as messed up or as methed up as that last story was, see what I did there? I'm here all week, folks. Try the veal. It is not my winner of my dumbass winner of the week. My dumbass winner of the week is our last story that I wanted to talk about, and it comes to us from the University of Kansas. And the winner of the week for the dumbass of the week is the University of Kansas. The dumbass of the week is a university, an institution of higher learning. So for those of you who may not be familiar with the University of Kansas, it is where the game of basketball was invented. It was created at the University of Kansas. And every year, the University of Kansas has a huge party that the university throws to kick off the college basketball season. And it's become quite a big spectacle. It's become a big event. And they hire in big name acts. And this year, their big name performing artist was Snoop Dogg. Hells to the yeah. Snoop Dogg on a college campus kicking off the basketball season? Fuck yeah, would have loved to have been at that party. But now the University of Kansas is apologizing to parents of students, the faculty of the university, the alumni, because they said they didn't realize that Snoop's show would be A, filled with profanity, and B, feature half-naked women on stripper poles on the stage while he rapped. what the fuck did you think you were getting? It's Snoop Dogg. Did you think he was going to come on stage and change out of his jacket and into his Mr. Rogers sweater and sit down and read books to the kids? It's fucking Snoop Dogg. There are three things you get out of a Snoop Dogg show. Four things. I apologize. Four things that you're guaranteed to get. Badass tunes, a heavy thick cloud of marijuana smoke, half-naked women dancing on stage, and a shit ton of profanity. And for you to be apologizing for that shows your ignorance. Everybody in the world knows who Snoop Dogg is, and everybody in the world knows what to expect out of a Snoop Dogg show. Except for, apparently, the brain trust running the show at the University of Kansas, which leads me to believe that you're not really good enough at what you do, and I don't want my kids anywhere near your university. And don't fucking apologize for that. That's a goddamn Snoop Dogg show. Those are adults that attend your university. Those are kids that are 18 years and up. And if their parents got a problem with them attending a Snoop Dogg show because there was a couple of F-bombs and some half-naked women on the pole, then that's on them. Tough fucking shit. We're talking about adults attending a Snoop Dogg show on a college campus, and you guys are apologizing for it. Shame on you. Shame on you. Snoop, you keep doing you. Don't let this shit bother you one bit. Let it roll off your back. Let that university go off and apologize to everybody for offending delicate sensibility. Fuck you. It's a goddamn Snoop. What the hell did you think you were getting? Do you think it was going to be like the Osmonds come out? I'm a little bit country. She's a little bit rock and roll. That's a fucking Snoop Dogg show. You're going to get, what's my name, bitch? You're lucky he wasn't smoking some ganja on stage. My guess is that what you got, University of Kansas, was the clean Snoop Dogg show, because he wasn't smoking dope on stage. You got the clean version. Congratulations. He dialed it back for you. Yeah, I don't think the University of Kansas is smart enough to house my kids, to teach my kids, to educate the youth of America, if they don't even know what the hell to expect out of a Snoop Dogg show. So in honor of Snoop's performance, and as a middle finger to the University of Kansas, I want everybody on the University of Kansas campus tonight to blaze one up while cranking up some Snoop Dogg to give a big middle finger to the authorities that be at the University of Kansas. Everybody, blaze one up tonight. I want to see car windows down, blasting Snoop Dogg as loud as you can possibly blast it. Send him a message. My God, what did you think was going to happen, people? You guys got to start using your head, man. And for those of you who aren't familiar with what that is, that's that lump 3 feet above your ass. Oh, we're sorry. We didn't know he was going to say the F word. And there's women on stage that are barely dressed. You're lucky they were dressed at all. It's a fucking Snoop show. My goodness. So therein lies this week's Dumbass of the Week award winner. It goes to the University of Kansas. Congratulations on being a collective bunch of dumbasses. Anyway, folks, I gotta take a shower, go get my haircut, get my son's haircut, run to the grocery store, pick up a couple items, then get back here and get the house clean. I've got people coming over. Like I said, we're going to see my middle child sign the national anthem tonight in about 45-degree chilly rain. So it's going to be an interesting evening. That's all I got for you this week. As always, stay grateful. Now enjoy a little bit of the Friday song.